The only thing I had time to notice were that his eyes were wild before he jerked me against his chest, turned me around, and held a knife to my throat. He swung his other hand in front of me and pointed it in Carter's face. My nightmare was happening in front of my face. He had a gun to Carter, who started to lunge forward. Ben yelled out, "I don't think so, buddy. I'll slice her throat. Even if you can wrestle the gun from me, I'll cut her open. You know I'll do it." A maniacal laugh came from him. It was high and shrill. "I believe you've seen my handiwork already, huh, Mr. Big Shot Man in Charge, huh?" Carter stood still for 2 seconds. His eyes narrowed as he looked at the barrel in front of him. Then his eyes slid to the knife at my throat before he barked over his shoulder, "Run! Now!" Ben tightened his hold on me as he tried to see who was behind Carter. But as he did, Carter reached for him. He grabbed the inside of Ben's wrist and slammed it against the wall. The gun fell free at the same time he ripped the knife from his other hand. Surprised from the speed, Ben froze for a second. In that second, Carter punched him in the face, shoving him backwards from me. Then he twisted the other wrist. As it snapped, he pulled me free. I was shoved behind him, and he kicked at Ben's chest. From the sudden pain and force, Ben fell to the ground. He only had another second to look up before Carter knocked him unconscious with one blow to the head. I ran inside and found Amanda on her bed. Her hands were tied behind her back with tape. There was more tape around her mouth. Dried tears left streaks down her cheeks. But as she saw me, fresh tears burst forth. She started yelling something, muffled, and I ran to her. "Amanda! Are you okay?" She turned to her side for better access at her hands, but I couldn't tear the tape off. I cried out in frustration, feeling panic. This wasn't right. He could have killed her, too. As the panic started to blind me, Carter moved me back and used the knife he'd taken from Ben. He cut the tape free and pulled the other from her mouth. She shot forward, scrambling into my arms. I fell back onto the ground with her, and we held each other. She was weeping as I kept her close. I didn't want to let her go. "Emma," she sobbed. Her head was buried into my shoulder. "Shh, it's okay. It's over." Her arms shook. Her entire frame was trembling. "Oh, my God." Teresa gaped behind us. She stood in the doorway with a hand over her mouth. Then she shook her head and resolve came over her. She came over and knelt beside us. "What can I do?" I opened my mouth, but I had no idea. I was only holding Amanda. I had no intention of letting her go, but Carter plucked her out of my hands. "Carter!" I jumped to my feet and wiped my palms down my face. They were wet, from either Amanda's or my own tears. I tried to quickly dry them, but gave up. I was covered in tears. "Don't!" He handed Amanda to Teresa, then pointed to the door.
"Take her. I have a man in the hallway. They'll get you to the safe house."
"That place from before?"
"That place from before."
"Okay." She tucked Amanda under her arm and asked, "You got everything you need?" Amanda turned to me. My heart melted. She looked lost and fragile. It was a 6-year-old version of my friend that stood in that doorway. I nodded. I already knew what she needed. "I'll pack a bag. I'll bring it with me." Teresa chewed on her lip as she eyed Carter up and down.
"That might be a while, but I remember that there were other clothes at that place. We can use something there until you come."
When they left, Amanda held my gaze the entire way. At the last second, before Teresa pulled her through the door, she glanced at Ben, who was still unconscious on the ground. She hardened then, and stopped in her tracks. She gazed down at him, almost in a sad way, though.
"I know what he did. He told me."
Teresa whirled back to face me. I knew she was unsure what to do, but I knew. I stepped forward and touched Amanda's hand.
"Did he tell you that she was pregnant?"
"She was." I nodded. Everything seemed so bleak. Mallory shouldn't have died the way she did. I should have saved her. But I didn't know. Carter was right.
I hadn't known. They think it was Dunvin's baby. It wouldn't have mattered. Amanda was insistent. It wouldn't have mattered, not to Mallory. She would have loved that baby so much. I bet she was happy when she found out. She wasn't alone. She had someone to love. She grasped my arm tightly. Make him pay. I don't care if he was our friend. He killed her. You make him pay, Emma. I promise, she hissed. Carter took her hand from my arm and transferred her to Teresa again. He moved, so he stood between us.
Take her to the safe house. Emma will follow in a few hours.
Amanda's eyes still held mine as Teresa dragged her out. Promise, Emma. Promise. Mike was in the hallway. He reached to close the door, but his eyes flashed me an apology before he did. I was frozen once they were gone. A new storm had been awakened inside of me. Amanda wanted vengeance, but didn't she understand that I was the one who messed up? I brought Mallory to him. 27.
Emma.
I looked up. Carter had been watching me. He had an unreadable mask over him again. I shivered as I knew I was in the room with the cold killer again. He gestured to Ben.
What do you want?
I licked my dry lips. What do you mean?
What do you think?
He kicked Ben's feet.
This is your decision. What do you want done?
The memory of walking into my apartment rushed back to me. I was back there, all over again, as Dunvin was raping Mallory. She was whimpering, trying to fight, but he only hurt her more. He wouldn't stop. So I had to do it. I made the decision then. I wasn't sure if I could make it again. Carter, I rasped out,
What do you think would have happened to Teresa had she talked?
My eyes snapped to his. A surge of possession rose in me. That was different. That was you. This is...
He's already killed her. He sold you out, and then he got out of Dodge. Franco got him hooked. I bet he needed something to take the edge off. He was ramped up from selling you out and everything. Franco gave him something. Said it was free, and it'd calm him down. Stupid shit. He was hooked after that. When he wakes up, he'll be off his high. You're going to have a different Ben then. He's going to be crying. He's going to be begging for your forgiveness. What are you going to do?
I flinched from his tone. Why are you talking to me like this? He was so harsh. Carter reached down and dragged Ben further inside. He threw him into the middle of the room.
Because when he wakes up, he's still going to be the son of a bitch that killed your friend. He came here for a reason. Why do you think he came here?
I shook my head. I didn't want to know. I really didn't. He's sick, Carter.
Yeah.
He laughed. It was an ugly sound.
He is. But he's smart. He's a survivor, Emma. He survived that whole situation with Franco breathing down his back. He prospered, getting money out of the deal. What does that tell you?
Stop it.
No. You need to see the real Ben. He's going to wake up, blubbering like a baby, and you can't buy into it. He'll say a lot of pretty words, how he's sorry for what he did to his woman, but you can't fold. I'm trying to help you see the real Ben here.
I turned away, but he was there. He wrapped his arms around my waist and held me over Ben's body. I tried kicking, but he shifted his hold so I couldn't move anymore. His voice came from behind my ear.
You need to stop blaming yourself for everything that happens to your friends. You need to know what kind of animal this guy really was. Now look at him. Look at him, Emma.
I refused. He jerked my head down. Fine. If this is what he wanted, fine. I didn't see anything. Just Ben. He was unconscious, but I couldn't shake the image of his wild eyes. He wasn't moving. He was just lying there. Carter held me tighter.
What do you see, Emma?
Nothing. Him.
Look at him. What do you see?
What did I see? Nothing.
Tell me what he's wearing.
What? He's wearing baggy pants. So what? I tried wiggling out of his hold again. Carter, stop this.
What's in his pants? Look, Emma.
Anger rose in me. But I looked. Then I saw it. There was a bag in his back pocket. Is that what you're talking about?
What's in it?
I can't see it.
Look. Yes, you can.
Fine. Then I saw the corner that peeked out of his pocket. White stuff. You already said he was on drugs.
Keep looking.
I noticed a bulge in the same pocket and moved to get free. Carter let me go this time, and I knelt closer to Ben. I pulled the bag of white powder out. Another knife came with it. His phone was in the other pocket, along with a set of keys. What does this all mean?
Why did he come here?
What are you doing?
He butchered your friend, Emma. He should have run, but he didn't. He came here.
Why?
To break the news to your friend? I doubt it. Open his phone. Look at the last number he dialed.
I didn't recognize it. There's no name saved to it.
Read it to me.
When I did, he said,
That's the same number Graham dialed. My guess? It was his last connection to Franco.
Franco's dead. A groan came from Ben, and Carter hit him in the head again. No more sounds came again. I want to talk to him.
He shook his head. You're not ready.
Why are you doing this? His nostrils flared as he pierced me with his eyes.
Are you kidding me? All you do is blame yourself for your friend's death. I get it. You just found out today, but I'm not going to let you keep blaming yourself. That'll screw with your head. I want you to mourn your friend, but you have to face the facts straight. You need to start doing it in a healthy way, and your head's not clear. Not when it comes to your roommate. I'm trying to help you with this guy. He's scum. But he was scum that your roommate brought in. You had no say over him. She brought him in. She stayed with him. She chose to go to him. Not you. I want you to be clear. You couldn't have stopped her from going to this guy. You can't blame yourself for that.
And making me take inventory on Ben is going to help that? He lifted his hands.
It's a start. You need to really look at him for who he is. You never did. I heard you interact with him before. You thought he was annoying and stupid. You laughed at him. You never took him serious. You did what most girls do. You only see the surface. Every person gives you an image of what they want you to see. This asshole looked pathetic to you. Maybe lovesick.
Everything was swirling inside of me. I was confused by what he was saying, but I only wanted to yell at Ben. He took her from me. He shouldn't have taken her from me.
Make him pay, Emma. Promise.
Amanda's shout came back to me, and I shook my head. She was right. I was tired of Carter's lesson. I started forward for him, but Carter hauled me back. His hand stayed on my arm.
What were you going to do?
I had no idea. He sighed in frustration, raking a hand through his hair. His shoulders bunched as he lifted his arm and the sleeve of his shirt slid down. His bicep doubled in size before his arm went back down. For some reason, I couldn't look away from his arm. His muscle folded back into place, but every part of him was sculpted to perfection.
Are you checking me out?
His tone held a trace of amusement.
What?
No. But I was. My cheeks warmed and I hung my head. How could I do that? At this time? At this place? He chuckled.
Don't beat yourself up. You're stalling. I'd stall too.
He sighed as he hooked a foot underneath Ben's stomach. He flipped him over. One of his arms hit the couch and stayed there. It couldn't slide back down from its awkward angle. Then Carter gestured to him and stepped back again.
Okay. Look at him again. Tell me what you see.
I had no idea. Nothing. He had on a nice shirt. There was cash in his front pocket.
His jeans didn't look as baggy from the front, and there were no stains. Even his shoes seemed new.
Wait. His shoes were new. He was clean-kept. He had money. He had a working phone. He had drugs. My mouth dropped open.
Getting it now?
He was high. I thought...
You thought what?
He was calm.
I thought he was desperate and sad. Maybe he didn't know what he had done when he...
I couldn't say it. I should, but I couldn't. It was too soon.
He gutted your roommate. He murdered her, and he's not desperate, Emma.
Carter grabbed the phone, pulled out the money, and picked up the knife.
He's got keys. That tells me he's got somewhere to go. He's got money, so he's not here to score quick cash. He's got drugs. That means he's got his next hit already with him. And he's got a second knife. My guess is that this is his favorite one. He used Amanda's knife on you, and he came with a gun. Where'd he get the gun?
I shook my head. It might be the one I used on Dunvin.
Nope. Carter negated that. My men took care of that one. This was his. He came here with a gun of his own, Emma. Put it all together. What are you getting?
I shrugged. I was so tired, so damn tired of it all. I felt myself growing numb again and shutting down. He murdered Mallory. The son of a bitch killed my friend and took away her baby. We could have at least had the baby. I wouldn't have cared if it was from Dunvin. It would have been half Mallory. She was a good person. The child would have been a good person, too. I wiped a tear away and sat on the other couch. Carter sighed. His tone softened.
I'm sorry if I'm hurting you, but I'm helping you, too, right now. I'm trying to get you ready, because he's going to wake up soon. Right now you're thinking that he didn't know what he did, and he's going to use that on you. He's going to beg and plead. He's going to cry. He's going to use every trick he can. But that's not the truth. None of it is. He knew what he was doing, Emma. He killed her, and he bragged about it. You heard him. We saw his handiwork. He wasn't here to kill Amanda. He could have done that right away. He was waiting for you. He knew what he was doing. Look past his surface and get a feel for him inside. What do you feel? Use all of it. Add it all up in your mind.
I shook my head. I couldn't. He was pushing me too hard. Why are you doing this to me? I started to turn away. He caught my arm and pulled me back.
Because you need to know everything and have all the facts in your head. I won't let you walk out of this apartment with regrets. Those will eat you up inside, and I love you too much to watch you go through that. You're going to make a decision on what to do with him, and you're going to own it. You have to know everything first.
I shook my head. I didn't want to do this. He pulled me over to Ben's things. His voice was hard now, cold again.
Look at his shit. He broke in. He tied up the owner of the place. He has drugs. He has a gun. He has a knife. He has a phone. He's wearing good clothes. He's got keys to go somewhere. A person has an agenda when they go somewhere. They have a reason for everything they do. He's not looking for an immediate score. His last phone call was to Franco's guy. He was waiting for you. What was he doing? When he wakes up, it'll still be his goal. When you figure out the agenda, you figure out the person.
It was too much. Too many things were being stirred inside of me.
Carter broke. He said in a soft voice,
"He already sold you out once, and he was awarded for it. What do you think he was here to do? Again?"
My eyes got big, and my heart paused. He was going to do it again. Carter was laying the groundwork. He wanted me to figure it out for myself. He was right. Ben would have convinced me. He would have cried and begged. I would have felt bad for him. Hell, Amanda and I always felt bad for him. We made fun of him, but we thought he was pathetic for how much he loved Mallory and pined for her. Carter was right. I would have bought it.
He's setting up long term. He was here to grab you for Franco or kill you himself.
Carter went over and kicked at his feet.
My guess is that he was going to grab you, then call Franco and ask what he wanted him to do. He probably doesn't know that Franco's dead. No one does, unless they're in the family.
What would have Franco said?
He shrugged as he kicked his feet again. Franco would have had him bring you in. Then he would have killed the guy. Your friend would have thought he was being so smart that he had it all figured out. He was going to get a big reward this time, bigger than just telling him who the trigger had been.
It sounds so easy to him, killing me like that.
I shuddered.
My voice trembled. Did he kill her that easy, too?
Carter had bent down and was untying Ben's shoes when he stopped and looked up. He stared at me for a minute before he replied, "This guy sounds like a normal, controlling, and abusive asshole. He probably had a lot of fury built up over the years. He watched her with other guys?"
I nodded.
"Okay."
He nodded to himself, like he had come to a decision.
"You're not going to like hearing this, but this is what I think happened. The guy wanted your friend, and he finally got her, and he got her all to himself. I'm sure he put on a whole show, how he didn't want you to go, but then, in truth, he liked that you were gone. He had her to himself. But once he did, I don't think it went how he thought it was going to be. Life spent in hiding ages a person. It was wearing on him. Franco got him hooked on drugs, so he was getting high. He had a bunch of cash, and your friend started looking different to him. He started thinking about what he could do on his own. He started feeling more and more trapped by her. If it hadn't been for her, he could be living life grand. He knew I was with you. Someone told him at one point, so he was hiding from me, too. He blamed that on her, too, since you were her roommate."
With each word, I felt more and more sick. My stomach had climbed into my throat by his last words. "Why are you telling me all this?"
"Because I'm painting you a picture. So you understand that when he got high, he got angry. They probably got into a fight, and he killed her. He probably didn't even care that much anymore. She was a burden to him by then."
"How do you know this?"
"Because this is what I do. I figure people out. I figure out their agendas, and your buddy here, he's not some mastermind. He only thinks he was."
He had Ben's shoes off and ripped off his shirt next. His pants were last before he stood up.
"Are you ready?"
"Why did you undress him?" Carter flashed me a hard grin.
"You don't want to know that answer. All right, here we go."
He started shaking Ben again, kicking more at his feet. At first there was no response, but after a few more vigorous slaps on the face, he started to wake up. He sputtered and threw himself backwards. When he came up against the couch, he scrambled to his feet. Carter pushed him back to the floor.
"You stay there, okay?"
Trembling, Ben nodded. His face looked drained of all his blood, and then he turned to me. His eyes widened, remorse filled them, and his lips started to quiver. I looked away, sickened to the point where I was revolted now. Carter was right.
"M,
he stuttered out.
"I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my fucking God. What did I do? Mallory,"
he choked on her name.
"What did I do to her? What did I do, baby? What did I do to you? Oh, my God."
I couldn't hear it. I didn't want to. Without thinking, still hearing Amanda's shout in my head, I picked up his gun and swiftly turned in the same movement. I shot him. The sound went off, but I never heard it. His body slumped back down and his mouth stopped moving. He was dead. I had avenged Mallory. Then I turned and left. I never looked back. 28. I left Carter in that apartment. There was a car downstairs waiting for me, and I was driven to the safe house. Amanda and Teresa were at the dining room table, a huge glass of wine in front of both of them. When they saw I was alone, each gave me tired smiles. I showered before I joined them, But when I did, there was a huge glass waiting for me. I needed it. We sat together the rest of the night. None of us wanted to go to sleep. They never asked what happened. They knew. Noah arrived when it was nearing 6 in the morning. He looked exhausted as well. I wasn't sure why, but I didn't want to know. Teresa tipped her head back, as if waiting for a kiss. But he knelt and folded her body against his. He stood, and both disappeared down the hallway. Amanda lifted her eyebrows. I yawned.
My boss! They're complicated.
We didn't speak another word, and Carter was the next to come in. He didn't pick me up as Noah had, but he took my hand and led me to our room. I looked over my shoulder, but Amanda had her head down. She was resting it on the table. I knew she didn't want to sleep, or she would have asked for a bed. After we showered, Carter lifted me and took me to the bed. He put us both under the covers, and we lay there. When I started to reach for a shirt, he shook his head. He wanted only our skin against each other. We never talked about what I did, between any of us. Amanda didn't want to go back to her apartment, so she stayed at the safe house. She lived there, and this time it was my turn to pack up her belongings. I had all of it put into storage. She only asked for a few things, mainly clothes and her computer. Since Amanda stayed at the safe house, so did Teresa. I didn't understand why, but she told me that Amanda reminded her of her mother. A bond formed between the two, and after 3 months at the safe house, Teresa took her in. There was no question, no discussion. We were all having dinner one night, Noah and Carter as well, and Teresa put down her fork, tilted her head to the side, and told Amanda she was moving in with her. The next day, the little belongings Amanda had were packed up, and both of them left. I wasn't sure who was more relieved, Noah or Carter. Since both of my friends were at the safe house, I wanted to stay there as well, so Carter stayed with me. Noah was the only one who didn't stay all the time, but he was around more often than not. Amanda asked me one night if it was weird that I was almost living with my boss, but I shrugged. Nothing seemed weird anymore. There was no name on Mallory's headstone. She had no family. Ben was listed as her emergency contact, so she was never identified officially. I was taken to the morgue after hours one time and saw that it was really her. I knew it was, but Carter wanted me to make sure. Amanda hadn't wanted to come. We never talked about Mallory. Not at first. After Amanda moved in with Teresa, it was another 3 months before her name was brought up. We started a new tradition for the three of us. We spent every Friday night at their apartment. It was spent talking, laughing, and drinking wine. Lots and lots of wine. A pizza was usually ordered as well. The nights were meant for only light conversations. But that night, Amanda asked if we could have our own memorial for Mallory and the baby. She started crying after that. By the end of the night, all three of us had each used a box of Kleenex. I was a mess when I slipped into bed with Carter that night, but I relayed what Amanda had asked and explained that the rest of the night was spent sharing Mallory's stories. We even talked about how pathetic we thought Ben was. Carter shook his head, kissed my forehead, and pulled me over him. He liked to sleep with me on top of him. He ran his hand up and down my back. It was only later that I realized that he didn't sleep. He held me. Carter didn't need much sleep. The first time I noticed, I woke to him pacing in the room. He was a caged tiger. When I felt tension in his body, I slept naked and on top of him. It soothed him for some reason. Over the next couple months, the three of us formed a tight bond. Besides the Friday wine nights, there were many others spent at Octave. Noah came some of those times, though he was annoyed most of the time. Brianna continued to work at the nightclub, and she still didn't approve of a romantic relationship between Noah and Teresa. That pissed Teresa off. I asked Amanda one time about the cop she was going to date, and she looked at me like my head exploded. "Are you kidding me? After what we did?" I never pointed out that she technically didn't do anything. but a part of me was glad she considered herself part of it. It made the guilt fade a little. Killing Ben never made me lose sleep, but I still had nightmares about Mallory. No matter what Carter tried to get me to think, I would never be rid of that guilt. It had been my job to protect her. I had failed. I had avenged her, but I had failed her. I had failed her child as well. However, I was learning to live with that guilt. It was the only point of contention between Carter and me. Teresa and Amanda had each other. Teresa sort of had Noah. But Carter and I had become a team together. We grew so close that we didn't need to speak half of the time. We knew what each other thought. This was one of those nights. We were at Octave, in Carter's private office with his patio dance floor. Amanda and Teresa were dancing together, while Noah was discussing our latest business venture from the Richmond. I stopped listening to him and glanced over at the door. He was there. The hunger started again. I had grown used to that as well. Noah stopped talking and grinned.
"I know that look."
His eyes found mine immediately, a slow smile growing as he closed the distance between us. They darkened, full of promises, as he murmured,
"Hey there."
"Hi." He grinned and took my elbow. He moved so that he was leaning against the counter. My back was against his chest, and he wrapped his arms around me. He tucked me close between his legs. Then he turned to Noah.
"Are we sparring tomorrow again?"
Noah shook his head.
"You too."
Carter laughed, his voice low, smooth against my ear.
"I believe your other half is just on the other side of those doors, if you choose."
He groaned.
"Don't get her started. Brianna's on tonight. I don't need another lecture." "It's like that?" "It's like that."
Noah looked to the dance floor. His tone lowered.
"I'm going to need a full hour in the gym tomorrow, if you're game." "I'm game."
Carter pressed a kiss to the back of my neck.
"But it might be worth taking what you want before someone else does."
"Not you two. That's all Teresa harps on me now. I got asked out for a date today. I'm going to dinner with so-and-so. Oh, and then my favorite. One day, I'm going to get sick of waiting, and you'll regret that day ever happened, Noah John Tomlinson."
He pretended to hit himself in the forehead. "Believe me, I am aware my chances are dwindling each day." I turned, unable to help myself. "So why don't you? She loves you." My boss went still at my words. Then he choked out,
"She does?"
I snorted in disgust. "She wouldn't be waiting for you if she didn't. Forget your sister, Noah. You get that love once in a lifetime, if you're lucky." He didn't wait another second. He put his glass down and went on the dance floor. Amanda danced by herself for the rest of the night. Carter tightened his arms around me and kissed the back of my ear. He caught my lobe in his teeth, sweeping his tongue against it as he murmured,
"Once in a lifetime, huh?"
I turned around and wound my arms around his shoulders, then grinned as my lips found his. It wasn't long before Carter said our goodbyes for us and took me home. Our departure was barely noticed. They all knew it was never long before the two of us left. As he carried me to our bed, I couldn't help to think about our own family. We found each other after so many years apart and came together as he slipped inside of me, as one. Our hips moved together in perfect rhythm. I gasped, falling back onto the pillow as he moved over me. My hands skimmed up his arms, and he looked up, his eyes falling into mine. There. Right there. He was all I needed, and I was all he needed. This entire experience had changed me, hardened me. I had killed two men. And as Carter continued to thrust inside of me, I knew I would do it again if anyone tried to take him away from me. It was early the next morning when Carter woke me up. He nudged me in the side.
"I want you to get up with me."
"No," and I rolled over. After a soft chuckle, he said again,
"Come on, I want you to go to the gym with me."
"No." My pillow felt wonderful, too wonderful to get sweaty and whatever else he had in mind. I wasn't moving and hugged my pillow tighter. There was no warning. Carter flipped me over. He hooked a hand around my leg and slid his other under my arm. I was lifted in the air like a rag doll. With a gasp, I clung to him to keep from falling and was carried into the walk-in closet. He deposited me on the bench as my shirt was taken off in record time. Workout clothes were tossed to me before he went to get his clothes. "What is this?" He flashed me a grin.
"You're going to train with me and Noah."
I snorted and threw the clothes back to him. "No, I'm not."
"Yes, you are."
His grin turned wicked.
"I think it'd be good for you to learn some moves, just in case."
"I have how many bodyguards?" The grin faltered.
"Guards can die. You should still learn how to defend yourself."
"Oh." There went that argument. "Noah is my boss, and an MMA champion."
"So?"
"So it's awkward and inappropriate." Okay, I was grasping for straws here. He shook his head, but tossed the clothes back to me before he pulled off his own shirt. Oh, consider me distracted. I sighed as I watched his back muscles bulge and stretch when he pulled a different shirt on. This was a tight tank, but worn down the middle as if someone had grabbed for it and ripped it. Then he pulled on some pants, and I was even more distracted. His obliques stuck out, rippling under his skin, and when those workout pants covered him, they clung in all the right places. The throbbing began again. My mouth went dry. I wanted a different workout.
"Noah is the same boss that you've given love advice to and have gone drinking with. If anything's inappropriate, that's inappropriate."
I sighed. "He's my boss."
"And you're my woman."
He stopped and glared. A thrill went through me. A primal possessiveness was in his gaze. His lips flattened, though my own still tingled to touch his. He continued.
"I just think it's smart for you to know how to fight, and I want to make sure you learn the right way. I trained Noah, Emma. I'd like to train you as well."
All fight fled as he looked at me like that. His wolf-like eyes were tender and loving. My desire for him only magnified, but I contained it. Carter was waiting for me in the basement garage after I finished dressing. A car was already there, so I slid into the seat beside him, and he reached over for my hand, kissing the back of it.
"Thank you."
I sighed. He was so damn wonderful. It was nearing 6 in the morning, way too early, and when we got out of the car in another basement garage and went through a single black door, I saw that we had it to ourselves. Carter crossed towards a fighting ring, but I lingered behind. The entire front hallway was covered in pictures of Noah. Most of them were when he was an MMA fighter. He stood in his bright red shorts with other fighters. Some pictures were with other people, whom I assumed were his family. I recognized Brianna in a few, and Teresa in others. There were even photographs of Noah and Carter. One caught my eye. It was dated a long time ago, 6 months after AJ died. "Carter?"
"Yeah."
He straightened from stretching. I pointed to the picture. "How long have you known Noah?" He came over and stood behind me. One of his hands rested on the side of my hip, but he didn't pull me in. It was just there. His chest skimmed against me lightly as he took a deep breath.
"That wasn't long after..."
"After AJ died."
"Yeah."
He sounded sad.
"He was some punk kid coming in, looking for a job."
"Really?" I glanced over my shoulder. His eyes were lidded, going through past memories. He laughed, a hollow echo to it.
"I was there when he approached one of the new guys. It was a bakery downtown. That was where some of the product was hidden. I was collecting money for Favre, who laughed when he saw Noah. He pulled up in a fancy car, wearing khakis and a purple vest. He looked ridiculous. Rich punk with daddy issues. That's what Favre said when he pointed him out."
"What did you do?"
"Nothing.
Well, nothing to him. I told our guy not to give him a job. Then I was notified a month later that Noah was back demanding a job. So I told the guys to bring him to me. I think Favre thought I'd lost my mind. I wasn't high on the ladder yet, but high enough with enough clout by then for people to do what I said.
What happened?
He laughed again, fondly. They brought him to me, and I told him if he wanted a job, he needed to take me down. He mouthed off, said he could do whatever he wanted. That's when I told him that I was the guy who'd be coming after him if he didn't make the right payments, so he better know what he was getting into.
Did he take you down?
I grinned as I asked. I already knew he couldn't. Not then. He chuckled and shook his head. No, he still can't. He can overpower me, but I'm quicker.
Like hell you are.
Noah stood there, a wide smile stretched over his face as he held a gym bag over his shoulder. He wore a similar shirt like Carter, ripped in places and looking like something he bought from a thrift store. His pants were even worse, gray, faded in places so much that his skin shone through. The pockets looked like they'd been ripped out long ago. A deep chuckle reverberated from him.
Those are fightin' words, my son.
Carter chuckled.
That's what I said to him all those years ago.
It took a moment before I realized Carter had addressed that to me. He nodded towards Noah, who stood next to me now.
She asked about this picture. I was telling her how we first met.
Yeah.
A dark, haunted look appeared over Noah as he sighed.
That was around the time Teresa's parents died. I was close to her dad, and was fucking angry at the world. I wanted to do damage. I didn't know if it was to myself or to others.
Anyways, he blinked a few times, and the darkness disappeared. He forced a smile instead.
Doesn't matter now. This man never let me get anywhere near that lifestyle.
Carter had been watching as well, but caught my gaze and squeezed my hip.
I paid for his first fight.
A genuine laugh ripped from the bigger guy, and all the rest since. You were his sponsor?
More or less.
Carter shrugged. His icy blue eyes grew thoughtful again. A shiver went through me. He was remembering AJ. I didn't know how I knew it, but I did. He murmured,
"He reminded me of your brother. Same look in his eye, angry and hurting. Ready to fight. When I saw the kid had talent, I knew he had a different future for him.
Kid?
Noah reached around me and punched his shoulder. I'm 2 years older than you, man.
Age doesn't mean a thing. I'm older and wiser.
Carter winked at me.
I'll always be older and wiser.
My ass, you will.
Noah griped, but the fondness was evident between the two. As they moved for the fighting ring, I studied more of the pictures. There were more of the two dressed in business suits, and still more of action photographs. Noah was in the ring, a feral snarl on his face, his biceps bulging as his fist was clenched and ready to make contact with his opponent. The word, knockout, was written underneath. My eyes drifted over the photograph, and I sucked in my breath. Carter was in the background. A large and imposing man was next to him. This man sent chills down my back. If I ever saw him in person, I would have been terrified. A scar ran across the entire length of his forehead, and his eyes were dead. I glanced to Carter now. He and Noah had moved to the ring to stretch together. That was his life then. Sometimes I forgot about whom he worked with and what he had done. That was the stranger side of him, the side he kept hidden from me. It came out. I glimpsed it at moments, when we had been ambushed by the cars and with Ben. But it was different. Those moments had been in the moment. He had been defending me. But there were times when he didn't have to defend people. I drew in a ragged breath. My heart felt like a hand was squeezing it tight. I couldn't forget that side of his life. But then he glanced over, and his gaze pierced mine. The hand tightened once more of my heart before it pounded with renewed vigor. It broke free of whatever hold that was, and a different sensation flooded me. Addiction. And something else. A dark strength.
no matter what path Carter would take us. I'd go with him. I was becoming like him.
Emma, come over here. I want to teach you this move.
I turned and followed. I'd always follow. 29. Carter. The bigger man was waiting when Carter stepped out of his car. They had picked their old meeting place for a reason. No one would be around the abandoned warehouse, but three cars circled the block. Men got out and spread around. Carter nodded in greeting. He hadn't been thrilled to hear from his old colleague, but he wasn't surprised. There'd been no word on Franco's body. There should have been word. The radio sounded from his man.
All clear, sir.
No time was wasted. Carter asked,
What's the reason for this, Jean?
The older and bigger man grinned, but it looked like a sneer. The scar across his forehead stuck out that night. The moonlight illuminated it, casting a shadow over the man's eyes. Carter didn't need to see them. He knew this man too well, and he knew his comrade was troubled.
Why couldn't I have called just to catch up?
I'm out.
Carter's eyes flashed a warning.
What's happened?
You're not that out.
Jean sighed. His wide shoulders hunched forward as he slid his hand into his front pocket. He pulled out his phone and checked the time.
You know why I've called.
His murderer was called in.
Carter's jaw clenched.
What happened to the caller?
Disappeared.
What do the Bartell elders say?
They aren't saying anything, which is why I need you to come back in.
No.
The answer was swift.
Jean growled. Check your attitude, boy. Check yours.
Carter snarled back. You're not calling the shots for me. You haven't for a long time.
Fine.
The older man spit out. His teeth ground against each other as his hand fisted around his phone.
We'll do this your way.
I want a meeting.
That's not smart.
They didn't hold up their end. A body was supposed to be delivered to me.
It hasn't, and now their man disappears? Franco is probably alive. You know that. It doesn't mean they've reneged.
I don't care.
Carter lashed out. His eyes took on a murderous glint.
I've held up my end. I've already given them their royalties. If they don't agree to a meeting, I'll go to fucking war.
He started back for his car. Jean called after him.
You'd do that for her?
I'm doing that for everyone, you included. The Bartell family will either work with me, or I'll go against them. It's their choice, but they will be told of my intentions.
You're going to stir up a shitstorm. You know that, don't you?
Carter went to his car. The door was opened for him, but he turned back. A dead calm was in his gaze as he met his friend's.
Shitstorm's already been there. If we have to, it's time to take them down. We know they're weak right now.
Jean sighed as Carter got into his car and left. The man beside him asked,
What are you going to tell the elders?
To prepare for war.
Jean cast a shrewd glance over the younger man. He was new. He didn't know the lengths Carter Reed would take to ensure his win. And this woman of his had only made him even more lethal, no matter how often he teased him about going soft. Getting out of the car, Amanda was right behind me. I glanced back to make sure she followed the rest of the way inside Joe's, and she was. Biting her lip and tugging at her sleeves, she rolled her eyes.
Why am I here? I don't work at the Richmond.
You're my friend,
but I don't work at the Richmond. I'm not going to fit in.
Come on, you'll be fine. Teresa's already here. She's holding the table.
Oh, my God.
She groaned as we went through the door.
You are both nuts for making me come here.
I shrugged. It's Friday wine night.
No, this is not Friday wine night. That happens at home, with pajamas, with the three of us, lots and lots of wine and pizza. Not here. Not with your stuck-up co-workers, and definitely not with your boss here. He's my boss, too. It's still uncomfortable for me. Noah owns the cafe, remember?
She inched closer and hissed again.
I shouldn't be here.
Oh, hush. You're here, you're going to have fun, and you're teaching again.
I'm going back over the break. He's still my boss.
She grumbled again.
Seriously, Emma, I feel so out of place.
My hand grabbed her arm and I latched on. You're coming. She had to. She was my plus one. Carter would have caused too much of a commotion. Since getting free from the Mauricio family, his name and image was everywhere. The media's interest in him hadn't lessened. It had been leaked that he had been released from his mafia connections. The news spread fast that he'd been made into the poster boy for redemption. I had a gut feeling that the news loved to report on him. He raised their ratings every time. But when Noah asked if he'd come since Teresa had somehow blackmailed him to going to Joe's for Friday karaoke, Carter had laughed before punching him. They'd been sparring. As we went inside, I wasn't surprised to find the place full. Most of the workers from the hotel were inside. Varying expressions of nerves were on most of them. A few were eager, and another handful determined. I wasn't sure for what, but the night would be interesting. Noah Tomlinson was going to make an appearance at Joe's. The rumor had gotten out. He was rarely in the office, since he preferred to work from his home office, so it was the first some of the workers met the big boss in person. Teresa popped up from a stool and waved us over. She almost slipped off her stool and pitched forward. Noah grabbed her arm, sitting her back down with a deep scowl over his face. Amanda started giggling behind me.
He looks miserable.
See? I threw a grin over my shoulder to her. Nothing to worry about.
So says you, whose boyfriend is even more intimidating than the boss.
She nudged me with her elbow.
We should go over. Teresa's going to come over and get us if we don't march over there.
She paused as we watched our friend start laughing. She hit the table with her hand and kept laughing, even as she spilled some beer from her pitcher. Noah grimaced as he lifted the pitcher out of reach. She kept laughing. Amanda amended,
"That's if she can walk."
I shook my head. "Let's go." Leading the way, a few people said hello when we moved past. I extended a polite greeting, but I never wavered. Since my promotion, people had been friendlier, but there'd been a time when they froze me out. I wouldn't be forgetting that. As I rounded the table of girls that I once considered casual work friends, it was the same reception. All of them were warm, and a couple gushed to me, but they'd been the worst. Bitches. I wasn't blind to their keen gazes as they watched us approach Teresa and Noah's table.
Hey!
Teresa threw her hands in the air again. The glass she'd been holding emptied onto a person walking by. They stopped, but saw Noah's hulk size and kept going. They were smart. Then Teresa hollered,
"My friend and roommate! You're here!"
Amanda and I shared a look. This night was definitely going to be interesting. Noah's head leaned back. He gazed up at the ceiling, groaning at the same time.
"Hey-ya, hey-ya, sit here."
Teresa patted the empty stool on her other side. She jerked her hand to Amanda.
"Now."
I nudged her this time.
"You heard your roommate. Get going." "Emma?"
Teresa wasn't finished. She leaned forward. Her elbow grazed the top of the pitcher. It started to teeter as she commanded with a wide smile, "You sit there." Noah's hand darted, and he scooped up the pitcher before it spilled any more. "Good catch." He grunted in response and passed the pitcher to a waiter walking by. She started to ask him a question, but he turned his back to her. A scowl came over him, and he scanned the room.
"When is this over?"
I laughed, taking my seat. "It hasn't even started."
"Oh, God."
Teresa was whispering in Amanda's ear. I gestured to her and asked him, "When did she start?"
"Don't get me on that. She's been going like this since I picked her up."
As his jaw clenched and his shoulders stiffened, I knew there'd been another fight between them. "Are the two of you a two anymore?"
"We never get to that point. Something always comes up."
He shot me a dark look. I didn't take offense to it. Ever since the sparring lessons, I'd gotten to know my boss a bit better.
"I thought you were going to be. I thought you told her how you felt." "What are you two whispering about?"
Teresa's voice jarred from across the table. Her eyes were narrowed, studying us, but she teetered on her chair again. Amanda caught her this time. You. Her eyebrows shot up. Really? What are you saying?
Noah leaned back and locked gazes with her.
I was about to tell her that you've drank way too much for the night. I should take you home.
No! She pounded a hand on the table. You said you'd stay for karaoke. It hasn't even started.
Fuck karaoke.
He glanced around the bar.
Look at this. I'm a damn freak show.
No, you aren't.
Yes, I am. I shouldn't be here. I'm everyone's boss. This isn't appropriate.
Teresa shot her hand out and pinned his arm to the table. She leaned close, lowering her voice, but not enough.
You promised me you'd do this. I don't care whose boss you are. Co-workers party all the time together.
Yeah, he said, at holiday parties.
Noah!
He shook her hand off and stood from the table. As he reached for his wallet, he glanced up and froze. His eyes rounded and his mouth opened. Then a hush went over the room. I closed my eyes as tingles raced over my skin. I felt him coming. I knew he was there. And as I turned around, Carter stood behind me. A slight smirk was there. He wore a hooded sweatshirt over custom-fitted jeans. I knew he aimed to look casual, but it only made him look younger and innocent. And everyone in the room knew Carter Reed was no angel, though his face teased at the image. His eyes were filled with dark promises as he skimmed over me. I hadn't thought he was coming, but I was glad Teresa made me promise to dress up. I wore shimmering black pants, loose, but they rested low on my stomach. They matched the black top I wore. It was sleeveless and the ends tied around my neck. There was no back. It ended under my sides. That was it. His hand touched the small of my back as he sat beside me. A fresh burst of sensations shot through me. As his thumb rubbed over my skin, he leaned forward to kiss under my ear. It looked like he was saying something to me, but he wasn't. He was nibbling. I bit my lip to keep from groaning out loud. As if he sensed my battle, he swept his tongue against my earlobe and whispered,
"If this is how you dress going to these things, I don't think you can keep me away."
I grinned. Our eyes met and held for a sizzling moment where he was close enough to kiss. Then he moved away, but not before he skimmed a tender hand from my hair down my back to rest on my waist. He pulled me closer to him as he turned to Noah.
"Karaoke?"
A grunt, followed by a curse, was his response. Teresa and Amanda were both wide-eyed as they witnessed the exchange. They'd been around Carter, but I knew both were still frightened from conversing with him. Teresa had gotten over her disdain for him long ago. She seemed tongue-tied around him, even after Ben's death, and staying at his safe house until Amanda was ready to move out. They murmured quiet hellos to him, but conversed with each other after that. The drunken, loud state Teresa had been in was shot down. Way down. I frowned. They should have been comfortable enough to say more than hello to him, but that wasn't the case. When Carter showed up, he talked to me or Noah. Amanda confessed she was still scared of him, and Teresa confided that she didn't know how to talk to him. Teresa said something now, and Noah looked over. As he was pulled into their conversation, Carter moved his hand up and down my back again. He murmured,
"I hope I don't have to sing because I came. I don't think that'd be good."
I sucked in my breath. Too many lustful temptations were going through me as his hand continued his caresses. No. Sneaking a glance around the room, it was how I thought. Most everyone was watching our table, but the attention was no longer on their boss. It was on Carter. I couldn't blame them. I couldn't even blame the media. Their obsession wasn't dying down. So, Teresa spoke up, the brave one. Her smile teetered as she caught my gaze, but she pushed forward. Carter, I hope you're not trying to be incognito with that get-up. He stiffened, but glanced down. I burst out laughing. He was. He grimaced at me.
Didn't work?
Teresa was building more confidence. She laughed with me, shaking her head.
I don't think you can go anywhere in this city with that face and be invisible. I sucked in my breath. Carter threw me a look from the corner of his eye, but he shrugged.
I thought I'd try to fit in with the Richmond workforce.
Good luck. That's not going to happen, Teresa teased him. Too mysterious and too gorgeous. Noah frowned at her.
I thought you were my date.
We're not on a date. I work for you.
Because I'm stuck with you,
he shot back. But the grin that appeared took away any negative connotation. She gasped and hit his arm, and the two went back to their pseudo-flirting, bickering again. Amanda shook her head as she watched them. She caught my gaze and pretended to roll her eyes upward in annoyance. We both knew better. She only wanted Teresa to be happy. I did too, but it was more for Amanda. She'd been brought in from the cold. Teresa and Amanda would be attached at the hip from now on. I wasn't worried, because no one understood how cold it was on the outside like I did. I'd been there, right alongside her. My chest lifted as I took a deep breath. Things were better. They were going to stay that way. There was no reason to think of the past. It wasn't going to happen again.
You okay?
Carter asked, touching my arm. I nodded. Yeah. Managing a tentative grin, I meant to reassure him. It didn't work. His eyes sharpened, and he knew something was wrong. I mean it. I'm fine. Just thinking of past demons. An hour later, the karaoke was in full effect. So was the drinking. Even Noah seemed a little friendlier than normal. And because of that, the rest of the co-workers sensed it and grew brave. A few approached the table. We moved to a back corner, and Carter was positioned at one end. Noah was on the other end, so the co-workers approached his side, but they couldn't stop from glancing at Carter. They all noticed the hand he held over mine on the table. None spoke to him. I didn't think they dared, not yet. But they were curious. Correction. They were fascinated. After the seventh person, this time she was openly staring at Carter, I grew restless. Nudging him in the leg, I gestured to the aisle. I'm going to refill the pitcher. His eyes narrowed. He knew what was going on, but folded out from the table. The girl squeaked and scrambled away. She must not have been expecting that he would move. He's not a statue, you moron. My inner bitch was raring to go. But as I started to move past him, he took my arm. Holding me close, he murmured in my ear,
It's okay. You don't have to protect me.
I bristled. I know, but you're not a goddamned animal from a zoo that got loose. He chuckled, the sound brushing against me. It warmed me, and a surge of desire flooded inside, just like that. One laugh, and I wanted him.
If that's the case, they should be running in the other direction.
I snorted. Yeah, well, I'm worried a few will go into heat and start throwing themselves at you. He laughed again.
And you have nothing to worry about in that case either.
I sighed. I knew he was right. But at that moment, some of the girls I used to consider casual friends came over. The interest was in their eyes, along with their own desire. I bit back a growl. Grabbing the empty pitcher, I gestured to the bar and slipped from his hold. As I did, I glanced back once I got to the bar. A sneer came over me. Carter was watching me, amused as he folded back into the seat. My eyes darted to the two girls that stood next to Noah. They were talking to their boss, laughing with him, and even Teresa, who thought everything was hilarious by then. But their gazes never left Carter for long.
Hey.
I turned. The bartender was gazing at me with frank approval. He lingered on my cleavage before catching my eye. Gesturing to the pitcher I had placed on the counter, he asked,
Refill?
Yeah, I murmured, distracted as I looked back to the table again.
Here you go.
I reached for my wallet and handed a $10 bill to him, but it wasn't until his hand covered mine that all my attention snapped into focus. The bartender ran a finger over my wrist and palm before he closed my hand over the money. He winked.
It's on me.
He was hitting on me. I couldn't believe it.
Mistaking my shock for interest, he continued to run his hand over my arm. He went up and down before I jerked it away.
"Do you need anything else?"
His eyes were saying something else. "Do you want anything else?" I sucked in my breath before a calm settled over me. Leaning close, I gave him a sultry grin and saw him light up. He leaned closer as well, and I whispered, "You see the guy behind me?" His grin grew.
"There are a lot of guys behind you. Is one of them your boyfriend?"
I nodded. My smile stretched. "You see the head honcho at the back booth?" Wariness started to filter in. His grin lessened, only a bit.
"Yeah?"
"You see the guy across from him, in the black hoodie?" His grin vanished, and he straightened. "You recognize him?" His Adam's apple jerked up and down. Panic came over him. Oh, yes, he did. I patted his arm. "Don't worry. I don't think he'll kill you for hitting on me." The bartender moved his hand away and slammed against the counter behind him as if he'd been burned. I didn't look over my shoulder, but I knew Carter was watching. He'd been watching the whole time. This guy seemed ready to piss himself as he stuttered out,
I have more customers.
And he hurried to the farthest end of the bar.
"Did you enjoy that?"
Two arms came around me and rested on the bar. Turning in his arms, Carter smirked at me, his eyes full of humor and something more. They were dark, a primal stirring underneath. My body reacted before I comprehended what he said. Then my heart slammed against my chest, and I drew in a deep breath. He leaned closer. I knew so many were watching this. Sliding a hand up his arm and encircling his neck, I ceased to care. I pulled him closer. His lips lingered over mine, brushing against them.
"Are you ready to go home?"
Nodding, I